show you how fast we can switch genres. We're going to go from IMCA Dirt Modifieds to NASCAR Asphalt Super Late Models. This is a young lady who's driving, running good, out of the Northwest. We're getting all across the country now. But let me introduce you to Molly Helmuth. Molly, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Did I pronounce your last name right?
You did. Yeah, it's Helmuth, so you got it right.
Not bad for a Southern redneck, huh?
Yeah, no, that's great. Fantastic.
How's your season been going so far?
It's going good. In the past, we've kind of had some troubles, mechanical fails, et cetera. This year, we have a new crew chief, Kelly Tanner, who is, you know, he ran in the Northwest Tour back in the 90s and won back-to-back championships. So I've been working with him this year, and I've been learning a lot, more hands-on. I've been learning a lot about, you know, what it takes to be successful in this industry and what it takes, you know, just to be a race car driver in general and be a good one. And so I've learned a lot, and we've had, you know, decent finishes, but we've also had some tough breaks. Last week, we were running at our local track of Evergreen Speedway, and we had no radio communication. So that was pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only imagine you're going, you know, 125 miles an hour with no spotter. So that was pretty tough for us, and that kind of held us back from a good finish. And then the weekend before that, we had a motor that blew. So that wasn't fun, but there's been a couple of times where, you know, we've been running good. And, you know, it's just, you know, we haven't had a podium finish, but we're looking for it. And I think it's just right around the corner in these next couple of races. So we'll see, you know, where it goes.
Well, it's early in your union with your crew chief. So as you all work together, that relationship will get better. And with his experience, I'm sure it won't be long till y'all get up front.
No, absolutely. He's been amazing. So it's been fun. It's been a successful season, and I think that we're starting to open up a little bit, you know, some more eyes in the racing community in the Northwest. You know, back when I was racing mini stocks and so forth, you know, there were eyes that were on me. But as we had those rough years in 2013, 2014 in the late models, you know, people kind of started to doubt me. So as we run, you know, better, you know, these past couple of races, people are starting to notice me again. So that's always great. And so hopefully, you know, we can actually show for it with, you know, some solid finishes in these next couple of races, as I said.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Who owns your car?
My father and my mom.
Your father, yeah, family racing deal.
Well, my family, how I got into racing was my uncle was, and he still is currently, but he's been racing for 20 plus years, and I'd go out to Evergreen Speedway, and I'd watch him and his Hornet and his mini stock, and I fell in love with it, so I got into the go-karts. So that's the only family that has been in the racing industry. My father didn't race, my mom didn't race, so it's kind of, you know, new to us, or it was new to us. Now we're starting to get used to it, but we never had like a racing background as a lot of these other kids do, where their grandfather raced or their dad raced, or, you know, so it's been kind of hard to get, you know, up to speed. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. You've kind of had to do it on your own that way, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just my dad and I going to the racetrack, you know, when I was 11 years old racing go-karts. And, you know, I had no idea how to drive a go-kart. I thought I did, but I was spinning in circles down the front stretch at 5 miles an hour. And my cousin trying to work on the car. And, you know, we have no idea how to, you know, set up a go-kart. So we're asking around to all the other drivers, and they're trying to, you know, help us, which is great. I mean, those are the best times where, you know, when you're racing go-karts and you're racing against kids that were your age. And, I mean, it was just so much fun then, and you traveled all around. But, yeah, it was hard. You know, it's been a great learning experience. It's been a great bonding experience for me and my dad and my mom and my sister. And, So it's been fun, but it's a lot of work, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of money, and we all know that. So, but it's been fun.
Yeah, that if you're loose on the straightaways, that's a pretty good sign you set up for that night.
Yeah. No, I think I didn't know that you like weren't supposed to push the brake and the throttle at the same time. So I don't know. It was just a mess. I think my dad's all into photography and stuff like that. And so he filmed that race, my very, very first race where I'm spinning down front stretch. And I think I might have deleted it or something, but it'd be funny to go back and watch that and have it in my files. But oh my God, it was just embarrassing.
Oh, wow. You said you were 11 when you were racing go-karts. Is that when you started?
Yeah. And so it was funny because, you know, well, I wanted to race Bandoleros because when I went to the racetrack, I saw a Bandolero and I was like, well, those are really cool looking cars. I want to race them. But they weren't, you know, they weren't as big as, you know, the go-karts and stuff and quarter midgets. So that's when we got into the go-kart because my dad had some friends that were into it. And so the night before the race, or we went to a local indoor karting track, but, you know, I think you had to be 14 or something to go on a bigger track. And so I was up on like the kiddie track that it was like a little Lightning McQueen car, pretty much, like it's just, you know, that you buy at Kmart. And I'm just going around like thinking I'm all up on the wheel and cruising, and then we're like, all right, we're good to go. So we go to the race the next day, and it's like a regional event. Like, these kids are good. Like, they're going to nationals, and I'm over here spinning on the front stretch, and, you know, a lot of drivers and families were not happy. So we had to learn, you know, earn our respect. But, you know, there were times where people just wanted me to, you know, get off the track and quit. But, you know, I knew that racing was what I wanted to do. I loved going fast and stuff. So I just kept on trucking along. So here I am.
Well, tell us your line of experience from you started in go-karts and how you got the super late models.
Yeah, so I started in go-karts at the age of 11. And then when I got to the age of 14, I got into mini stocks. And then when I was racing mini stocks, I then moved into Pro 4 trucks. And I was also racing a Ford Focus midget for the Ron Sutton Driver Development Program in California. And so, and then that was in 2012 when I was doing that. And then that was my first year in a late model. And so we did that. We won Rookie of the Year for, you know, Washington State. And so I've just been racing late models ever since 2012. And here we are.
Wow, that is ultra cool. How old are you now?
What was that?
How old are you now?
I'm old. I'm 20.
Oh, wow. I got a pair of Chucks from Converse All-Stars that are older than that.
Yeah, I turned 20 in June, so, you know, it was
Oh, geez.
Was
I bet the gray hair's popping out, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're coming along.
Oh, man. Caution flag, what do you think of all this?
Well, I definitely would have to say that she has earned it. I mean, she started out in go-karts. She didn't know what the heck she was doing. She's gone to mini stock. Now she's in a super late model. She's built I was just looking through her Facebook page and seeing where she had that handful of money. So, obviously, things are working out for her. I heard her say something about earlier, there being a little bit of doubt. Well, shake them haters off, girl, because it sounds like you got your stuff in key.
Thank you. I don't have a bunch of money like a lot of these other kids do, but, you know, it's all about sponsorships, and we seem to be finding them somehow. So it's nice to have these corporate sponsors on board that I just keep acquiring over the years. So it's amazing. You know, I've gone to school for marketing, so that's also helped a great bunch. But, I mean, it's, you know, kind of I've had to take the reins and, you know, try to find the money myself. And so, you know, would I like to be in the higher division right now? Yeah, I would, absolutely. But, you know, the money needs to come along, and we don't necessarily have it, but we're trying to find it, and we've been successful with it, and hopefully we just, you know, keep finding more sponsors to come on board and you know. But it's just a fun journey, and it's nice to get your name out and to be representing all these corporations. So, you know, I have Security Imaging on board, Jana Helm, a CPA, Frontier Communications, Penn Grade 1, High Performance Oil, and Champion Spark Plugs. So I have a lot of – and then I also have a lot of other smaller sponsors that come with me, but – it's a lot of fun, and, you know, I appreciate
Steve, I do believe that's where the marketing comes in, what she was just talking about, the marketing, you know, the marketing degree that she has. I think she just expressed that one pretty good. What do you think? That's the best sponsor call I've heard all year.
Yeah, she's got the hang of that pretty good, huh?
I'll tell you what, that's what they got to have, and the personality is great. It's awesome to hear that kind of livelihood going on in grassroots racing, and we wish you continued success, definitely.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, that's what it takes nowadays, is a good personality and marketability, which neither one was something I never had. One of my ex-wives told me one time I would never make it as the greeter at Walmart. I just wasn't cut out.
Oh, no.
Kind of surprising.
Yeah. I can see you as a greeter. You'd have to have a headphone and be calling out to the cash register. Hey, cash register one, we got a left tire change coming up here.
Yeah, there you go. Right on.
Yeah, that's my calling. I just missed it, I swear. You said earlier, Molly, you were getting more hands-on with it. Do you find the more that you learn about your car, the better it helps you when you're on the track?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's important for everyone to know, not everyone, but the drivers themselves to know, you know, what the car is doing, what the parts do. And, you know, it's just nice to be hands-on. I mean, I'm not to the point where, like, I know every part on the car and what they all do. But, I mean, I'm getting there slowly. I mean, today we unloaded the car from the trailer, and I was cleaning the car for 4 hours today. It's like, but when you're doing that, you're learning, you know, what the parts are. You know, you're also seeing, like, oh, this bolt's loose or this line came apart or whatever. So you're, like, you're starting to put that into your brain, like, you know, where what parts go to what and where things should go and what's wrong or, you know, so forth. So it's good for drivers to know that. And, you know, I want to be more hands-on, and I want to know more about the car, because I definitely think that it does help. But yeah, that's the part where it's helped me, is to, you know, taking the car out of the trailer, cleaning it up, working with the crew chief to figure out, you know, what the car does in general.
Do you feel like it helps your confidence in talking with your crew chief and being able to tell him more clearly what your car is doing and what you think it needs?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that also, you mentioned confidence, and that's a huge key factor, because, again, when we go back to the past couple of years, we had a lot of mechanical failures. You know, I'd be racing, mm-hmm. and 5 laps into the race, like, I'd have no brakes, let's say. So knowing, like, as I'm cleaning the car and I'm working with the crew chief more, I know, like, that the brakes were bled, or, like, you know, that things were, you know, tightened and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I know in the back of my head, like, that when it hits the racetrack, it's not going to slide up and hit the wall, or the brakes aren't going to fail. Like, I know that it's going to stick underneath me. And so that's where the confidence factor comes in. And that's where also, you know, being hands-on and you touching the parts and the tools and stuff, like, you know that the car is going to be underneath you when you go into the turn. So that's definitely a huge plus.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. And it's like you said, if you have the confidence to drive that car deep down in the corner and knowing that it's going to stick, just that confidence factor will boost your lap times considerably.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's a good way to be. And mention your crew chief's name again.
Kelly Tanner.
Kelly, that's right. And like you said, he's done a bunch of racing up there, and I'm sure he's got a good grip on what a car is supposed to do and everything. So
absolutely.
It's like, you know, you and him partner up real good, and that's definitely a plus.
Yeah, I mean, he just comes from a racing background, and his son, he also races. He's actually in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Tyler Tanner. He runs for Mittler Brothers. And then, you know, Tyler's mom and Kelly's wife, she raced in the mini stock division as well. So it's just like a huge racing family. So being around the Tanner family, it's really, you know, gotten me aware of, you know, what's going on, and a lot more confidence in myself and my car and all that combined. So they all know what they're doing, and it's really boosted me up as a driver.
Yeah, all these little things that you've mentioned, you know, just the fact that you have contact with Kelly's mom and everything, who's raced and stuff like that, it's all little stuff, but if you combine it all together, it becomes big stuff. And that seems to be helping you a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
You said that you wanted to move up higher in NASCAR, I'm assuming all the way to Cup. Do you think living in the Northwest is a disadvantage because you're so far away from any NASCAR tracks, Cup tracks rather?
Yeah, I think it is a huge disadvantage. I mean, me staying here running late models in the Northwest isn't going to get me anywhere. You know, I can't just wait for the phone to ring, because when the phone rings, they want money usually. I know how that works. You know, they say, hey, come drive my truck, but how much money do you have? So, I mean, if I'm going to sit in the Northwest, I know that it's not really going to do me any good. So I'm kind of trying to figure that out right now, where that path is going to lead me, if I'm going to stay in the Northwest or, you know, am I going to move back east? Because, yeah, definitely, I think we all know that that's where racing's at, and that's where you have to be to just build connections, go to the race shots, shake some hands, all that sort of stuff. So I think that is in the near future that I do need to move to the East Coast. So we'll figure it out. But I think that's a great point that you mentioned, because that's absolutely right. I mean, there are some racers that are up in NASCAR that, you know, came from the Northwest, but, you know, that was a totally different – you know, it was a totally different NASCAR, I guess I would say it, compared to now.
Yeah, Derek Cope and Chad Little are the only two I can think of right off. But they took
Casey
a totally
Kane
different
and Greg Biffle.
Path. Yeah, Biffle. But it's a two-sided coin, really. You know, you could move to Charlotte and be among 90% of the race teams and everything, and get your name out, kick resumes out, stuff like that. But on the other side of the coin, you got to look at Furniture Row Racing, who's out in Colorado, nowhere near any of the other NASCAR teams or anything, and they're getting the job done. And it was the same way back in the 80s with Bill Elliott and his brothers. They were down in Georgia, away from everything going on in Charlotte. And the good thing about not being around Charlotte is you don't have anybody from another team stopping by your shop to say hello and look around at what you're working on. You can keep secrets a lot better when you're out away. So that's something you kind of got to figure out on your own which way you want to go.
Yeah, well, we're working on it. That's definitely something that I've been working on, and so we'll see where it goes. I mean, it also helps that not only, like you said, it's hiding secrets, but I mean, from, you know, just working on my late model here, it's hard to get parts from the East Coast. I mean, a lot of the manufacturers are back east, so it's hard to get you know, parts shipped and overnight. I mean, it's freight's expensive. It's like, that's where you have to be, is kind of back east and or in the Midwest, because, you know, just getting parts is just hard enough to, you know, living in the Northwest.
Yeah, the shipping cost probably kills you to order parts in out there, plus the overnight to get it when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
About the only way you can get around that is order a ton of stuff, and they'll usually pay the shipping then, but then it's kind of like shopping at Sam's Club or one of those. You got to buy a ton of stuff to get that discount.
Yeah, too much stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely so. Ain't that right, Chris?
That's right. You hit the nail on the head on that one, Steve.
Tell people that are listening exactly what a asphalt super late model is, other than being the king daddy of late models.
Yeah, well, what do you want to know?
How much horsepower do y'all run?
Well, we run a 604 crate. You can run a 604 crate or compression motor, but we run a 604 crate, so it comes about 400 horsepower. You just run on asphalt. What do you want to know? I guess how you would explain it, if somebody is more of like the open wheel style of racing, they don't understand stock cars, a roof over your head. It looks, if you know the K&N series, it looks like a K&N. Obviously, it has less horsepower. It's a lighter car, but it's kind of like the same body, same body style. You're running on paved asphalt. You're not running on dirt. I never ran on dirt, actually, so that'd be fun to do someday. It's just the whole NASCAR style.
Well, I think has she had any ambition to race the Snowball Derby? It sounds like that would be a great race for her to kind of get her name out.
Yeah, it would. Have you heard of the Snowball Derby, Molly?
Yeah, I would love to run the Snowball Derby. But the thing is, it's the travel, having crew members that can come with you, it's the money, all that. I mean, it's hard to travel when you're, from the Northwest and you don't have, a full-time crew to come with you and, you don't have the hauler to, haul you there. My dad hates driving a truck and trailer, so I don't think he'd be the one hauling it. But it's hard, absolutely, I want to run the bigger races, and Snowball Derby would be a great one to run.
Sure wish we had Kyle Busch listening.
Yeah. You just get out here with the car, and I've got over 6,000 members in my group, NASCAR and other race, and I think we can find you a crew.
That's it.
We'd like to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. The best way I ever heard the Snowball Derby described was a guy told me, he said, it's safer on the track than in the pits. He said, you'll get run over in the pits because there's so many cars there and everything. He said, once you get on the track, traffic clears out, and said, you're okay then.
Nice.
So it's a pretty big deal.
Well, we have an event up here. It's called the Summer Showdown. And we probably had around 45 entries, I think, this past summer. And, we had to run, a lot of people run the compression motors, and so we were running crates. So obviously we had that. In general, I'm, pretty bad at qualifying. That's, my weak suit that I have to get better at. But so we had to qualify on the show. We had to do the last chance qualifier, et cetera. And so it was 20 grand to win. And, so we started 31st, and we finally got up to fourth at, lap 75 out of 200, and then we got crashed out. So it was fun while it lasted, but that's the big show, and I think that opened up a lot of eyes, and I'd like to run more of those bigger shows around here. Definitely it does draw a lot of attention, and it also gets you a lot of experience racing with, the top racers in the Northwest or, wherever you're at. But that's our main goal. And that's kind of these next couple of races are bigger races in the Northwest. You have the Yakima Fall Classic coming up. So that's another race that we'll be running at. But those bigger shows, I think that all drivers need to hit at least, once in their life. And the Snowball Derby would be one.
Yeah, I hear you. You talk about not qualifying good. I can remember Tim Richmond and Harry Hyde talking about getting Tim to qualify good, and Tim's response was, it pays a lot more to finish up front than it does to start up front. He said, that's where I'm focused on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Keep in mind, you ain't got to win the pole to win the race every time.
Yeah, Yeah, but it does help when you can start up front, because then you don't have to pass all those other people or get up caught up in the wreck with all the people in the back. So it is nice, but, yeah, I agree with that statement, but I just, again, I have to get every series that I've been at, go-karts, you know, Ford Focus, I've just always been not that great at qualifying, so I do need to get a little bit better at it. And we have increased dramatically from 2013 to 2014 to 2015. So we're working on it.
I've always heard that Mark Martin held his breath. You know, maybe that's something. He held his breath all the time in qualifying, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. If you can hold your breath for two laps, you're usually a pretty good qualifier.
That's the key until you pass out.
Sorry, I just had to throw that one in there. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. We always
it seems like you're holding
a little humor here on Race
right.
The Big Sweat.
It's just been fun.
Like I said, we're all about short track racing, but number two is having a lot of fun, so we cover
that
too.
Right.
We're semi-serious. Well, show off your marketing skills again, Molly, and give a shout-out to your sponsors and your family and anybody else you want to recognize.
All right. So we'll go back down the list again. I'd like to thank Security Imaging, Dana Holmes CPA, Frontation, 10 Grade 1, High Performance Oil, and Champion Spark Plugs, and then obviously my wonderful team and crew chief for just being there for the second thing, and my family as well. And then if you guys are listening and you like me, then go follow me. And you can follow me at my Facebook page. Just go to Molly Helmet. Like me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Molly_Helmet90. And I have Instagram. You can follow me there. I have it all. You can go to my website, www.mollyhelmet.com. And you can go buy some T-shirts, some hats, some lanyards. Do whatever you want. You guys can become a Molly Helmut fan. And it's spell my last name. It's H-E-L-M-U-T-H. So go give me a follow, and I hope to meet you guys soon.
Yeah, we definitely shared you already. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah, we have. And I bet you got an A in that marketing class, huh?
Yes, that's my specialty. I love it. I graduated with the AA in it, but now I'm working on my bachelor's, so... But, yeah, it's been fun.
Well, make it to the big time, and you can get a publicist to do all that, and you can just concentrate on racing.
Yeah, there you go.
What's been the highlight of your career? What's been your biggest moment racing?
That's hard. I don't know. Honestly, I think it's just kind of, I mean, obviously, 2012 was a good year when I got NASCAR Rookie of the Year and I got to go to Charlotte and do that whole thing. But I think just this year and was my highlight for this season was the Summer Showdown. We did show a lot of people, you know, that we could race, and we were passing people on the outside, we were passing them on the inside, we were running up front. I mean, we were in fourth, you know, and obviously it turned out for the worst, but I think that was like my highlight of this season because, you know, again, it opened up a lot of people's eyes that doubted me, and so now we're back on track.
Well, that's definitely cool, and I have to ask you another way you can open people's eyes. What's been your biggest embarrassing moment at the track?
Oh, good God.
Like when you...
The
seats inside of your driving uniform or something like that?
No, this was really embarrassing. But, I was in go-karts, and I went to the bathroom, and I walked out, and there was toilet paper stuck to my suit. And I was, like, walking around with toilet paper stuck to my suit. And, like, somebody finally said, like, hey, you have toilet paper stuck to your suit. And I, like, made up this whole lie about, like, oh, somebody stuck it, must have stuck it in there. I like, made up this big white lie about it. So embarrassed. That was probably the most embarrassing moment of my racing career. I probably have had some of the most know, in the last couple of races, but none that stuck out more than that one. That was embarrassing.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. And any sponsors listening, you can tell this young lady is a straight shooter. She'll tell you right away what's what.
And yeah, hands down that Kyle Larson Charmin commercial. Hands down that beat the Charmin commercial from Kyle.
Yeah, perfect. Maybe that's the person I
got to
contact on Monday.
Do what now?
I think that's the company I need to contact on Monday.
That's right. Hopefully so.
Oh, man. Molly, it's been great to meet you and talk with you, and I've really enjoyed having you on the show. How much more racing have you got for this year?
I think 4 more races, so we're almost to the end.
Well, I'm that definitely going to keep an eye on you, and we got a lot of people that are interested in what you're doing because they keep posting stuff on there. That's how I really found out about you, was other members posted some stuff about you, and I said, well, I need to look into her. And
well, perfect. Word of mouth is great.
Yeah, definitely. So we're glad, again, I'm glad you came on, and I really enjoyed meeting you, and we'll try to talk to you again, especially if you can pick up a win out of one of these last 4 races. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Molly, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, you guys. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay.
Man, she's pretty cool, isn't she, Chris?
Definitely high-powered right there. Super late model driver. Got a promising future ahead of her, whether or not it's in racing or she could probably run anybody's business right about now with that marketing degree that she has.
Yeah. But I tell you, to me it was a pretty interesting show tonight to be able to talk to IMCA dirt modified driver that's successful like Tim Ward, and then to switch right over and talk to an asphalt super late model driver like Molly. And, you know, that's two totally different types of racing, but it gives us a good background to go on. And now I'm going to follow her. I want to see how she does.